Yesterday we started reading from Matthew chapter 13, which is the discourse of Jesus on the parables, basically a series of parables. It started out with the parable of the sower. And most of this chapter, almost all this chapter, is parables or explanation of parables, except for this passage, this section of chapter 13, which comes right after the parable of the sower and before Jesus explains what the parable means. Here, the disciples ask Jesus, "Why do you speak to the crowd in parables?" As if to say, you've spoken about seeds falling on different kinds of soil. We're not quite sure what it means. Why are you speaking in a way that is obscure? Are you deliberately hiding things from the people or from us? Or what are you doing? Why? And you can understand this question because it's a question that we ourselves ask in some form or another. Why does God communicate the way he does, and why doesn't he do it in a way that is clearer? Very often when people seek spiritual direction, they have a form of this question: why is God doing it in a way that I can't understand? Why is he doing things that I can't read? Well, this takes some pondering. Why does the Lord speak in the way that he does? Why isn't he clearer? Now, one of the things we have to acknowledge from the beginning is that the question itself has an implication that we have to reject. That is, that God isn't doing it right. As if we are the ones who set the standard for how God should communicate, and he's not meeting our standard. No, we're already starting off on the wrong foot. We can't say, why does the Lord speak in parables, or why does he use signs or indirect language, with the idea that he shouldn't do that. Better to say, this is how the Lord communicates. How are we to best welcome it, receive it, understand it? Another thing we have to be cautious about is the idea that God should tell us more. He should tell us what we want to know. Sometimes God speaks, but not to us. Sometimes he's communicating to others or revealing things to others that are things that are not for us. And so we have no right to complain that he's not speaking clearly. He's not addressing us in the first place. Now, we have ideas of what God should tell us. He should tell us about the future. He should tell us about how things are going to happen. He should tell us about what's going to happen to our loved ones. Lots of things. But he doesn't. And that's because we don't need to know all those things. We're not in charge of all those things. So again, part of this pondering the parables is an acceptance of the fact that we don't have to know everything that we think we have to know. Sometimes I encounter people speaking in different languages. Sometimes I can even go back into the kitchen and I hear people speaking in languages that I don't understand. Now, I understand a little Tagalog, I understand English, but they might be speaking in Cebuano or Ilonggo. I don't have any idea what they're saying. I can't very well go into the kitchen and say, well, why aren't you speaking clearly? Because they are speaking very clearly. They understand each other very well. They're not talking to me. I have no right to complain about that. Anyway, we get the point. Sometimes what we think God should say, he's not addressing us in every single thing. We don't have to know everything. Okay, another thing to reflect on when it comes to why God communicates the way he does in parables is we have a limited capacity to receive what he communicates. This was clear from yesterday's parable. If we are rocky ground, well, no matter how much seed is dropped on us, we don't have any depth. We can't take in any more seeds than we actually have. It's not the fault of the seed. It's not the fault of God. There's something limited in us, and that's part of our condition, limited. So we can't blame God. Imagine in yesterday's parable, imagine the rocky soil saying, hey, why aren't you making me more fruitful? Well, the sower would say, I'm making you as fruitful as I can. You can imagine the footpath saying, you keep dropping seeds on my head, they just bounce off. Why don't you plant in me something that's more fruitful? The sower would say, I'm giving you the most fruitful seed I have. You're the one who's hard. You can imagine that. So it's not the fault of the seed, not the fault of the communicator. Our capacity is limited, sometimes limited by sin, sometimes limited simply by our nature, limited by many factors. That's part of why we don't understand. Another thing that we have to recognize when it comes to how God communicates, he recognizes that things take time. Seeds do not immediately bear fruit. Even if they're perfectly good seeds, even if they're planted in perfectly good soil, it still takes time to bear fruit. And we have to accept the process. Imagine the Blessed Virgin Mary being told she's going to be the Mother of God. She didn't say, well, you told me I'm going to be the Mother of God. Well, where's the child? Where's the child? It takes 9 months for a child to grow. She didn't complain about the 9 months it takes for a child to grow. She just accepted. Accepted like good soil welcoming the seed. But that's a lesson to us. When God is speaking to us, some of what he's telling us is seeds that will only bear fruit in the future. We can learn a lot from how God communicated to the chosen people, the Israelites, when they were in, there's many, many passages, but an obvious one is when they were enslaved in Egypt, and he told them, I'm going to lead you into a land flowing with milk and honey. I'm going to lead you into the promised land. And they said, okay, great. There we go. They walk out of Egypt. They find themselves in a desert. And they say, you said you're going to take us to the promised land. Here we are in a desert. Why don't you do it more directly? And the Lord would say, I am leading you directly to the promised land. This is the way. This is the path you have to take to get there. It's a desert. What do you want me to do? So this is it. Sometimes God is speaking clearly to us. There's nothing wrong with how he's communicating. It's our expectation that he should bring to a conclusion what he has promised in according to our timetable. That's not how God works. Okay. He's leading us directly. You know, this idea of our limited capacity or our limited understanding of the time it takes has lots of parallels in our natural life. Planting of seeds or teaching. You know, when parents teach their children or teachers teach their students, they don't teach them the whole course on the first day because there's no capacity to receive. Takes time. A couple of days ago, my phone gave me a message. Your storage is completely used up. And I looked at it, I said, how can that possibly be? There's lots of storage space here. It's 32 gigabytes or something. I don't have that much on there. How could it possibly be filled up? So of course I looked at the guidelines and it says, well, the first thing you do, you go to the storage menu and you delete your cache. Delete my cache. Well, C-A-C-H-E, not C-A-S-H. Cache, not money. Cache meaning the storage. C-A-C-H-E-O, delete my cache. Well, I know, I speak English, I know what delete means, I kind of know what cache means. I still didn't know what, I mean, that was very clear communication, very direct, it wasn't a parable. I still didn't know what to do. Well, I had to figure it out and try to push a few buttons and, you know, when you're talking with technical language, a menu in a phone is different than a menu at a restaurant. Settings on a phone are different than settings at the table, you know, table settings. You know, cache in a phone is different. So that's just clear communication, but my limited capacity made it difficult for me to respond. Okay, now last thing I want to mention about this is that sometimes God is speaking clearly to us, and the parables are very clear, but, and we have the capacity to receive, but we resist. We don't want to hear certain things. There's something in our nature that is reluctant to receive the word. This is also part of what we have to face. We love it when God tells us about love and about blessings and about peace and prosperity. But when God, and we love hearing about the promised land of milk, flowing with milk and honey. But when we are told, okay, you have to leave behind some of what you have now. You have to leave behind some of what you are attached to. Some things that are getting in the way of making progress into the promised land. We don't like that. We don't like the idea of sacrifice or of letting go or of having to change. And so we see or we look, but we don't see. We hear, but we don't listen. And that's what Jesus says right here, quoting from Isaiah's prophecy. They look, but they do not see. They hear, but do not listen or understand. It's hard for us to hear that we must forgive. It's one thing to say we can be forgiven, thanks be to God, He's merciful. But we also have to be merciful, even to the people who have really hurt us. We have to forgive. I don't want to forgive. I don't want to hear that. Well, then, if you don't want to hear it, then you won't. At the heart of the gospel is the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ, revelation of His extraordinary love, but He invites us to take up our cross and follow in His footsteps. And we say, well, all right, it's one thing to hear about being saved, it's another thing to hear about having to sacrifice or having to suffer. We don't like it. And so I'm sure you know exactly what this is. There are some scripture passages that are hard to accept, and there are some messages that God communicates to us in one way or another, through circumstances, through parables, through other people, or through our own insights in prayer. And we're not good soil. This is what happened in Jeremiah's time. Jeremiah, in this first reading, speaks about the goodness of God to His people, how He chose His bride and led them to prosperity. And what was their reaction? They ruined it all. They didn't accept. The priests didn't seek the Lord. The lawyers didn't know. The shepherds didn't know. The prophets didn't know. All the people who were supposed to be faithful followers of the Lord were not. And that's why the prophet says, be amazed at this. Shudder with sheer horror that my people have forsaken me, the source of living waters. If we forsake the living waters, we can hardly complain about the desert. We can hardly complain about being thirsty if we're refusing to drink. So that's part of what it means to receive the message of the parables. Many people long to see what we see and to hear what we hear, but they're not ready. And we ourselves, we have a deep longing for the truth, for the Word of God, but there's also something in us that's not ready. So when we hear about love, love is costly. That's part of the truth. If we're going to love, we have to be ready to sacrifice. That's part of the truth. And we can't complain that God's not clearly revealing it to us. He's revealing it to us every single day. So let's open our hearts. Let's keep striving to be good soil and to let the Lord transform us into good soil so that we can bear much fruit.